Hey, Dreamers. My first book, Joe Pardo's 31 Life-Changing Concepts, just came out. It's a self-development book designed for people who hate reading books. I filled it with lots of my own hand-drawn artwork. In order to make this launch a success, I need your help. Please go to howtodream.co/book before Saturday to purchase my book for free. Thank you for all your support, and I hope you have a magical day.
This is the Dreamers Podcast, where dreamers share their stories to inspire you. Now, join host Joe Pardo as he interviews a dreamer who's living their dreams.
Hey Dreamers, I'm Joe Pardo, and today I'm talking with Keith Callahan, who is making his dreams come true by being a Beachbody coach. Not just a Beachbody coach, but a successful Beachbody coach. Glad to have you on the show, Keith.
It's great to be here, Joe.
Glad that we were able to connect. Thanks to Dana, who has still hasn't gotten to be on my show yet, even though I've been talking to her since about a month after I started this thing almost a year ago.
Holy cow. And she has an amazing story too. I mean, she really does.
I know she does. And that's a friend of mine from up here in Philly was like, oh, you got to get Dana on the show. And we talked once or twice on Skype, but we just haven't gotten around to recording. She has a little one, so
yep.
and she's by herself. So it's tough for her to make that happen.
For sure.
So, Keith, why don't we give some background about yourself? I know you have an interesting background outside of just being a Beachbody coach as well.
Yeah, so I can go back and I'll sort of give you the whole version, but the abridged version of it. So, I've had this amazing life through Beachbody, and it really, you know, it gave me the opportunity to do what I want, when I want, with who I want. And what I mean by that is, you know, the income's great and being able to help people is great. But the ultimate piece for me, the piece that I love about it and I love for the life that we've been able to create is we have freedom of time. So, you know, there's so many professions where people are quote unquote successful in their professions. But if you're at work all day, it doesn't really, you don't have the ability to enjoy the fruits of your labor. So we've been able to really enjoy that, but it really didn't start that way. I grew up in a family with an alcoholic father, an enabling mother. So right from the start, this wasn't in the cards for me. And I had tons of alcoholism on both sides of the family, tons of depression, anxiety, like mental illness, like all these things that were really stacked against me. And when I was younger, I used to, you know, all through high school and college, I used to drink heavily. And then one day I finally had a wake up call, and I started getting involved in yoga, and I started getting involved in a spiritual path, a Native American spiritual path, and really just started to take back my own power and reclaim that, you know, that peace that was inside of me, that peace that all of us have inside of us. So, you know, fast forward a little bit and I got really involved with our spiritual community, and just little by little with going through therapy, like having, you know, personal therapy for a couple of years of intense therapy and the spiritual community. And then at one point, you know, I had just gotten married and I had a daughter. So my daughter was almost a year old at the time. And one of the ceremonies we do in our spiritual path is called Vision Quest. And what that is you literally go out the chief. So in our spiritual path, the chief would be the equivalent to a priest. And he takes you out into the woods. So you go out into the woods and you're out there for 4 days and four nights. And you're really out there by yourself. You're out there making a prayer for your life. So that's what Vision Quest or Humblecha That's really what it is. It's a prayer, a cry for a vision, cry for your life. And at that time, I was working. I had a financial consulting company, and the money was okay, and I enjoyed the work. But the reality was that I left at 7 o'clock in the morning and got home at 7 or 8 at night. And I just remember one night that my wife needed help with the baby, and I had nothing left, Joe. I was just so spent from the day, and I wanted to be able to help, but I just had nothing left. So anyways, during that vision quest, I really was praying about like, I need to make a change. And to be honest, I was a little scared too, you know, a new dad, and I had this company that was making money, but I wasn't happy, and I was a financial provider, but I wasn't there for the family. So I was praying about that a lot, and really got the clarity to shut down that company and become a Beachbody coach. And just a little background, at this time, I had already gone through and I had done the program P90X. A lot of people know about it. And I was in love with the company. I loved the program. I loved the products. I loved everything about it. And I was telling all of my friends and family about it, but I wasn't a coach yet. And, you know, I kind of didn't think that there was the ability to make a living doing this. So, you know, and during that vision quest, it was just so clear to shut it down, shut down the financial consulting company and transition into Beachbody coaching. And we've been one of those success stories that we've helped so many people. We have over 15,000 people on our team now. And it's been fulfilling on every single level. But the key piece, and the piece that I really believe why we had so much success with it and continue to, it was because we didn't doubt it, right? Like, we didn't go out and sort of try it out and see if it's going to work. I went in 100%. I went in 100%. And every time I got to one of those roadblocks or one of those hurdles where a lot of people might not continue, you know, this came to me off a prayer, off a vision, and it was for my family. It was for my family to be able to create this life that we have now. So that's sort of the abridged version.
We're going to dive a little bit deeper into it. So I understand why, you know, the why and the how you got to, okay, I'm going to make this jump to something else in my life. Mm. Basically, did it just fell into your lap as far as like the becoming a Beachbody coach?
So everybody has the opportunity to sign up as a Beachbody coach. You know, anybody can sign up as a coach. I'll be honest with you, it's a network marketing company, and I was not even skeptical. I thought it was I just had a bad impression on the industry. I had, when I was probably in my early 20s, I replied to an ad in a newspaper thinking I was going to an interview. Like, this other company set it up, and it was literally looked like I was going into an interview. And I walked in, and, you know, there was a receptionist at the front, and she's like, you know, sit here. And they had me wait for about 15 minutes. And then they ushered me and like 30 other people into this room and started pitching us this business opportunity. So it was really deceptive to me. So that was like my impression of network marketing. But the difference for me with Beachbody is I had already gone through and I had already done P90X, and I was already using their nutritional line, their main product, Shakeology. And I was promoting it and telling everybody I knew about it before I was even signed up as a coach. So, you know, when the opportunity was presented to me, it actually took me 6 months. So up, you know, prior to this point, prior to that day at Vision Quest, I had somebody who was saying, listen, you should really check this out. You should check this out. And I just, you know, it was like, well, how much money can you make selling DVDs and shakes? Like, that was my impression of it. The person who was talking to me, my sponsor, he had gone to an event, a Beachbody event they call Summit, out in, it was Los Angeles that year. And what happened is when he went out there and then he came back, and he believed. So prior to that, he was telling me about this. And, you know, he was kind of poking around with it, but once he believed, and now I saw that, right? And this was a good friend of mine. He was working as a full-time attorney at the time, and he had four kids, a wife, an ex-wife who he's paying child support to, like all this stuff. And he was like, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do it full-time. And once he said that, that's when I started paying attention. So, yeah, I jumped into it, and it really was a all or nothing thing for me. I researched the compensation plan. Like, I really wanted to understand, okay, how are people successful? And once I learned that, yeah, I jumped in. But again, everybody has that. Anybody and everybody in the United States and Canada, that's where we are, has that opportunity.
So, okay. So what was the first steps you took once you decided I'm all in, I'm going to do this and I'm going to be successful at it?
The first thing I did is I actually talked to all of my friends and family. It was because I understood the opportunity. Like, I feel like we all have, there's a few opportunities that in life, there's a few opportunities that are going to come up. Like, we're going to have opportunities in our lives. And I saw it. Like, I saw the opportunity. I saw what could happen with it. So I literally talked to all my friends and family who I had already been talking to about the products and about the programs. And I said, listen, I just want you to know that I'm going to be building a business with Beachbody. And they knew who Beachbody was already. And I said, you don't have to sign up. I'm not going to try to force anything on you, but do me a favor. Will you just watch this half hour presentation? And it really was, it was a half hour presentation that explained it, because I couldn't explain it. I didn't know what I was doing in the beginning. All that I knew was that I loved the company, I loved the products, and if I could make a living working out and helping others, like, it was awesome. So that's all I did in the beginning. And then I learned, like, you know, I stumbled and I fell on my face and I tried talking to people and said the wrong things, but, you know, you just learned a little bit each time.
So when you talked to your family specifically, what was – and your friends, I guess, as well. What was the reaction to, like, hey, I'm going to leave my company? Now, did you – wait, before we get there, did you sell your company or did you just shut it down?
Yeah, so it was a company that we shut it down. So we shut it down, and I really had the best of both worlds. It was almost like I was able to collect unemployment because I had some residual income from that company for like 2 years. So that was able to carry our family. When I say our family, like my wife and my one daughter at the time. So the residual income from that supported us. So we just sort of let it fizzle out, if that makes sense. And then the reaction from my wife supported me 100%. You know, the reaction from my immediate family, I was so excited about what I was doing that they were just curious and excited to check out what I was doing. And a bunch of them actually signed up as coaches. They're still coaches to this day. A few of them have left their full-time jobs and are coaching full-time. So it really was we just all jumped on board together and did it together.
Wow. That's not quite the reaction I was expecting. I was expecting a lot of skepticism. Like you had, and most people I would think would have with network marketing to begin with, especially leaving something that's working for
you.
I mean, you know, quote unquote, working.
You know what the one piece was that I think is different? And because I've never experienced that with Beachbody, and I think it's because people know the programs work. So it's not that you're signing up with a network marketing company because you got this good pitch and, you know, you're excited and you get a few people, then you get a few people. Like, at the core, we're starting with, let's get you doing a program. Let's get you feeling good and feeling healthy. And then, you know, the business opportunity comes from there. But the core of it is it's helping people. It's helping people with their health and fitness. And once you go through a program, you know, before we jumped on the recording, we were talking about you with the half marathon and the marathon training. Like, once you get that feeling and you fall in love with it, right? And that's what happened with all of my friends and family with Beachbody, like they went through the program and it was like, this works.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely does make you feel good when you can see results and you can feel the results. And yeah, running, you know, sometimes I love it, sometimes I hate it, but for the most part, I enjoy it enough, and I enjoy the benefits of it enough that I just keep doing it. Even if I am not able to train, I still run the races because that's just how I am.
Yeah, and you feel good, right?
Definitely.
It maybe not all the time when you're doing it, like you said, but the after effect.
Definitely. So what's been the biggest roadblock for you since leaving your company behind and going full-time now? And how long have you been full-time?
So full-time, this May is going to be 5 years since I've been a Beachbody coach. And so it'll be 4 years full-time. It took me a year to build up to the point that I was doing it full time. And you know, the hardest thing, it's going to sound weird that, so we have this amazing business. We have all these people that I'm working with, and I work with one-on-one, and we work with in groups, but I kind of miss going to an office sometimes. Like, it can be lonely just working from home all the time. And that's really been the hardest thing.
Well, you know, I'm laughing because I'm here all by myself all day long at the house working by myself. I've actually thought about going to some colo locations.
Oh yeah, the locations. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Just to have somewhere to go like 1 or 2 days a week, or maybe even just once or twice a month. But it does get kind of expensive. I know a friend of mine who's been on the show before, Keith Nerden. He actually set up a colo working situation at, like, I think it was like a coffee shop or something that had like a big event space in the back where they'd have like bands or something during, like, at night come in and play. But during the day, it just sits empty and they have like couches and stuff. So he actually organized people and got people to come. I think he's in Oregon. I forget specifically. Walla Walla. I'm like, you know, I don't live in a city, but if I lived in the city, I would probably be trying to do something like that.
That's a cool idea, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. If you can get, you know, a place that's like, hey, well, we're not making a whole heck of a lot of money, because there are places around here. Most of them are in Philly. I really don't want to drive into the city just to go to work.
Yeah.
But, you know, if there was like a place that wasn't too far and wasn't necessarily in the city where I'd have to drive and pay $20 to park, but they charge for like office space. So mm-hmm. It's not really like everybody brings their laptop and who's a blogger and who's a this and who's a that doing their thing. It's like you're renting it because you want to look professional when a potential client comes in.
Yeah, absolutely. And for, you know, like you had said, for you and me, it's to get out of the house too, right?
Well, actually, you know, what's funny is last night or yesterday afternoon, I just started up it'll be like a month ago at this point, working with kids at a local school on how to podcast. So it's a bunch of middle schoolers. Oh, you did? Oh, awesome.
Yeah, I started on your Facebook page.
Yeah. I actually just posted the first video. So I recorded like the whole lesson that we did and went through and like wrote down what we accomplished in the first hour and a half. And I plan on continuing the blog. So a month from now, you know, this is future Joe or past Joe talking to future Joe. it's going to be amazing.
That's awesome. And helping out those kids so much too.
Yeah. They're really excited about the idea and what it could bring. So on top of that, it's nice because I have a reason to get out of the house and go somewhere and have to get dressed outside of just sweatpants and a running shirt.
For sure.
But getting back to you, what's been the biggest roadblock and how have you overcome it?
I would have to say that it was with this business. When somebody starts having a little bit of success, right, you've got people that are – if you have somebody that you guys are both sort of at the same space in life, and then one person starts having a little bit more success, like we've all experienced this, it's kind of uncomfortable, right? Like you kind of see that person having success and you're like, man, they're like doing something. And so anyways, like when I first started having success with Beachbody and I first started building it, I was building heavily on Facebook. So I was sharing with my friends, I was sharing with family, and I was really promoting this lifestyle that we were living, and you know, being able to really do whatever we want. And there was this group of people from my hometown that made up this fake product. Like literally, they made up this fake product, and they started mocking what I was doing on Facebook. So, and at first, when I saw that, it kind of hit me. Like it hit me in the chest, and it hit me in the heart, and it hit me in the gut. But I always remembered, and I could have, like, that was a point where I was like, man, am I doing something wrong? And you know, I really looked at it and I was like, wow, these guys are spending all this time making up this fake product, and I'm spending all this time with a product that actually works, that actually helps people, and that's furthering, you know, it's allowing me to build a business. So when I took a step back and I looked at it that way, and I just had, and at first there was a little bit of anger towards them, and I wanted to lash out and yell and scream, but I just got into more of a place of compassion for them, and you know, just always would. I used to call it bless and release. So I would just bless them and release any sort of initial reaction. But that was hard. It was really, really hard because it was on social media, and there was, I would see other of my friends sort of popping in and saying stuff. And it's funny, a lot of those people that were originally mocking it are now coaches too. So I think with anything, when you have a dream and you have a vision and you're trying to build something, there's always going to be people that try to knock you down, and you have to be strong enough yourself in your conviction, and then also have the right support system around you. I think that's a really big thing. You know, my wife really supported me. My close friends supported me. So that was probably the hardest thing, that one experience, but having that support system got me through it too.
No, I know exactly where you're coming from, and definitely there's always going to be somebody that's going to try to bring you down on what you're doing, which is a shame, especially since it is a reputable product and a reputable company. I mean, everybody knows about, you know, P90X. I think a little bit more of the P90X, because I think when P90 had first, because that was the first product that came out, wasn't it?
Oh, such a good program that not everybody knows about. Yeah. So it was P90, which actually stood for Power 90. And then P90X is Power 90 Extreme. But everybody knows P90X. Yeah.
Yeah. That was the first experience I had, you know, finding out about it. And then that was, man, what was that, in like 2005?
Yeah. That's right around the time that I started doing it. Yeah.
Wow. It's been a while. But that's, you know, that was the thing that really got it out there. Cause it was years later before I even found out that there was a P90 to begin with. So yeah, I mean, dealing with those types of people, that it's easy to want to go for the easy emotions, which is to lash out, but, you know, to take something, like that and be like, you know what, it's okay.
Yeah.
And actually, in some ways, I just end up feeling bad for those people, because it's like, you know, like you said, they spent all this time building a fake product. It's like, what could they have been doing with that time otherwise? You know, what if they're that creative to do something like that, why not put that creativity to something that matters?
Yeah. And you know what, one of my biggest, I wouldn't call it a pet peeve, but so alongside of this, it was the same people that were doing that. I would get these invitations to play Candy Crush on Facebook from them. So I was like, man, I'm here building a business, hustling, and, you know, changing lives, and you guys are sending me Candy Crush invitations.
I wouldn't know anything about that. Never actually played.
Neither have I, but I used to get the invitations all the time.
Keith, what, when you were growing up, what was your childhood dream?
I really always wanted to. So ever since I was young, I loved entrepreneurship. I know I'm not cut out for a 9-to-5 desk job. I'm not good at it. I'm not good at just sitting there and having that, like, you know, get in a car, drive to work, spend the time in the office. Like I had all these ideas. I wanted to just really create things. So from a young age, that entrepreneurial spirit sort of kicked in, and I always had either a newspaper route or, and you know, with the newspaper route, I brought in a couple other people. So I was already had like a couple people that were working with me in that venture. So it really was like at a young age, I just had that. I love the challenge of building a business. And yeah, it really, as a kid, it was always that. It wasn't like I wanted to be a football player or a baseball player or any of that. I really enjoyed business.
Oh, you know what's funny is it, and you got to experience that both on your own and now as a coach.
Mm.
So it's, you know, it's funny how sometimes people are like, oh, well, I wanted to be this or that, and they don't necessarily end up becoming specifically, like you didn't end up in the newspaper business.
No.
thankfully.
yeah.
But, you know, you still wound up doing something that has roots in what you did, you know, what you wanted as a child.
Yeah, and you know what I learned, Joe, that this was – here was the piece that really attracted me to Beachbody. Owning a business prior to this, I understood the overhead that went with a business, the startup costs, the, you know, having to, you have payroll, you have unemployment insurance, you have all your payroll taxes, you have to have a desk, you have to have a brick and mortar building, you have to have the attorney, the legal, the all the accounting, like all of that stuff. That's what my old business was, and that's what I hated about business. I loved the running your own business, and then I also loved the ability to help others run their own business. And when I heard about the Beachbody part of it, it was like, you need a laptop and a cell phone. That's it. And I was like, that's it. No other expenses, no payroll, no nothing. And it's sort of the best of both worlds because you have that support, but you're able to run your own business, if that makes any sense.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. I mean, those are the worst parts of a business, unless the whole brick and mortar thing where you have to be there, to me is one of the worst things.
Mm.
Because people are counting on you, and people, you know, if it's customers that are coming in the door, then you got to be open. If it's, you know, rain, sleet, snow, whatever, sickness, like that door's got to be open.
Yeah. And especially for a small business, because most people think that, you know, let's take a hair salon, for example. I know how to cut hair, so I'm going to open a hair salon because I don't want to keep giving all my money away, right? And they don't understand that the cutting hair and owning a hair salon business are two totally different things. A great book on that too, by the way, is have you ever read the book The E-Myth?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, E-Myth by Michael Gerber. It's a really, really good book.
I will have that in the show notes. Keith, what do your dreams for the future look like?
You know, it's so interesting that you asked this. So first, I want to thank you. This is the first time that I've been on a podcast being interviewed. So, but one of the things that I started and I've been working on so it's a podcast. So yesterday I interviewed my first two people. So it's going to be a combination of interview and then just me teaching and then sort of a monthly recap. Like that's the model for the podcast. So I'm super excited about it. It's still going to be eventually people that are listening. I want to be able to help them through Beachbody, but it's really about like creating the life you love to live. And the name of it, we're honing in on it. So I won't give you the exact name, but it's really going to be sort of about the business of life. So I'm super excited about that, so passionate about it. And I started from the beginning. On Monday, I interviewed my first two people that are going to be on the podcast. Like I did the recordings and stuff. And Joe, I bombed it. The interviews were so bad and so awful. And I was so off track, and literally halfway through one of them, I just wanted to like click the like disconnect button and be like, oops, sorry. Like, I don't know what happened. Like they were that bad. So like I'm in that beginning phase again. Right. So anyways, it's nice being on the other side here and listening to you because you're really good at doing the interviewing.
Well, first off, you're welcome. It's my pleasure to have you on. You've been an amazing guest and you're a great speaker. Second off, when do you think you'll be launching that show?
Hopefully by like late April. So we're it's funny. There's so much editing needed on the two that I've already done, and then I'm doing another one tomorrow. So learning about podcasting, I wanna really launch it correctly and have, you know, four to five episodes launched every single day for the first 4 to 5 days, and then also have 4 to 5 in the can for that first month. So yeah, we're looking at late April to launch it.
Wait, did you just say you want to have 4 to 5 to put out per day for the first couple weeks?
Yes. Yeah. No, just for the first. So for the first launch like 5 consecutive episodes.
Right.
And then go weekly.
Okay. Because it sounded to me like you were like, I'm going to have 4 episodes per day for like the first week. So by the end of the first week, I'm going to have like 20 episodes out already.
Oh my God, imagine that. That's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work. But no, it's good that you want to launch it. That's the correct way to go about doing it with iTunes and New and Noteworthy and getting the exposure. Mm. So, well, when you launch your show, let me know, or at least when you have a name patted down, I'll put that in the show notes so that people can go and find it, you know, when it's ready.
I'm 99% sure it's going to be The Business of Life. I'll let you know and confirm once it's official.
Yeah, definitely let me know. I mean, I wrote it down. I will make sure that it gets into the show notes. And thank you for the compliment. I've been at it for about a year. I was doing five episodes a week at one point for about 3 or 4
Holy
months.
Cow.
It was like 4 months, yeah. So it's definitely a lot of work. At this point, it's 3 episodes a week. It's a fun journey, though. I mean, it's fun because you get to meet and talk with people that I'd have no reason to talk to you otherwise, right? Unless I was interested in Beachbody or becoming a coach. But then I know Dana. But the only reason I know Dana is because of this show. So
yeah,
it's connections like that happen like literally all around the world that I just am so grateful for to have these experiences, getting to talk with people.
So can I flip the tables on you and ask you a question or two?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
So for myself, or maybe even any of your listeners who are considering starting a podcast, like what are your top recommendations? And then I actually have a very specific question. How do you go about finding people to interview for the show?
Well, with recommendations, I think that what you said about launching with a bunch of episodes is a great plan. I think a lot of it comes down to the plan. I mean, when I started, I was like, okay, I'm going to do this thing. And within 2 weeks, I had the first 3 episodes out. And I had a really solid idea of who I wanted to interview off the bat. If you don't know, or for whoever's listening doesn't know, the show got started because I was introduced to Entrepreneur on Fire by a friend who's another podcast. And I was like, well, you know, I know a lot of entrepreneurs, but I know a lot more people who live their dreams. And this was on a plane. So as soon as we landed, I had already come up with a name. I did the Google search for my name. I registered the domain name, the Facebook page, and the Twitter handle before we got to the rental car.
That's crazy.
And I had already sent a message to the guy who does the opening from my show, Al. And he was like, oh, I'd love to do that for you. The whole reason it got started was because I also DJ, and I just was getting ready to put out my first DJ album.
Mm.
Like music album. And I was asking my friend, oh, you know, is there any other podcasts that you know of that might be interested in what I was doing? It's a Disney based album.
Okay.
So it's all Disney music mashed up with hip hop instrumentals to the story of Pixar's Up.
Okay.
Anyway, the point is that was like a precursor, because that was the first time I ever was really on a podcast doing, you know, interviews for my project. And that's when he mentioned that. And I was like, oh, man, you know, that would be really neat. And when I started talking to people, they got really excited about it. So I was like, oh, well, let's take this and see where it goes. And it's been a really great journey. But other recommendations, you know, have a solid idea of the audience that you're trying to target. Is it, you kind of want to niche down, but at the same time, like, I mean, I say niche down, but like my show isn't really niche down. I'm talking to a Beachbody coach right now.
Yeah.
Later today, I'll be talking with an author, And then later, well, I have like four or five interviews today. So it's it's like anybody who is living their dream in that capacity, because I think that's a pretty big common thread. So it's kind of niche, but at the same time, not really, because I'm not just sticking to one specific topic.
Got it.
And, you know, and it's consistency. You know, people throw some really big numbers out there. They're like, oh, I get, you know, hundreds of thousands of downloads, you know, a week, and,
yeah,
and millions a year. And some of it's fake. There's tactics to you know, inflate your numbers. So there are companies working to stop that. But, it, you know, a lot of times it's just consistency. And the more episodes you have out there, the potential, like every time you get a new listener, like a real listener, a real fan, who eventually becomes a friend, hopefully, and at least in my case, that's been the case.
Yeah.
You have all these episodes. So like I'm up to 100, as of today, I'm up to 153 episodes.
Congrats, man.
Thank you. And when I get a new listener, they're going to probably want to go back and listen to a lot of these old episodes. So all of a sudden it just, you know, the numbers just can explode like that.
Got it.
So, you know, do you worry about you? And you know what? You'll find your voice. Just get started. Don't worry about trying to make it a perfection. Don't worry about, you know, I've bombed interviews plenty of times. And actually, some of them were not that long ago. You know what it is you wake up and you know how you just like, you're just groggy and you can't concentrate. Like one, you know, one day a month or whatever it is, that was just the wrong day for it to happen. I had to keep stopping and correcting myself and like long pauses. I just couldn't focus. It was bad. It was a bad, horrible day for that to rear its ugly little head. But as far as getting interviewees, I would, you know, as you make connections with people, they just kind of seem to happen. People recommend others. I would join a Facebook podcast community. Is a huge one. It's got over 4,000 podcasters in it. And just start making friends, you know, seeing who's out there that's got similar things that you're interested in. And people that are podcasters are really crazy about the medium, right? So they're really passionate about this and they're more than willing to help you out in most cases. As you interview, it's just like how I got you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a friend of mine who hasn't been on this a friend of mine who hasn't been on the show, you know, recommended someone that hasn't been on the show yet who recommended you, and now you're on the show.
Right. Yep.
And it just kind of gets rolling like that. And set achievable goals, right? Don't necessarily go out there and like be like, oh man, I got to put out 5 days a week and do all this. Like, I didn't start with 5 days. I started with one day on one episode. And then I got tired of waiting till the next Monday to come, because I wanted it to go faster. So I went to 3 days a week. And then a couple weeks later, I went to 5 days a week and stayed with that for a while. And then I backed it back down because I'm like, well, there's other things I want to do, other projects. I'm about to, my book it actually should be out by now, hopefully. Knock on wood. and, you know, so there, you know, in order to do that, you have to sacrifice somewhere. And then, you know, the 5 days a week is tough. You know, getting that many interviews or coming up with that many topics. So I think what the path that you're on with going to set it out where it's like, okay, I'm going to do lessons. I'm going to have interviews, maybe even have guest teachers, you know, come on. I'm sure there's aspects of, you know, building a website or building, you know, a social media platform that having other experts come on that might not necessarily be in your field of Beachbody, but are good at what they do in their field, could teach something to the people you're trying to, you know, your audience.
Yeah. I never even thought about that. That's a great point. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm full of them, man. So full of something.
And that, so in the Facebook page, you said it's called Podcast Community.
Yeah. It's a Facebook group, but there's plenty of them. There's Podcasters Hangout, Podcasters World. There's just so many of them. I mean, there's so many that you could literally spend all day just like watching the Facebook statuses come into the groups with people with questions or people with things that they you know, neat things that they found, stuff like that. You know, most of them you can't self-promote. You usually get, like, when you first get in the group, you can say what you're, you know, what you're about. But after that, you're really not supposed to self-promote.
Got it.
So just be careful.
Yeah, be respectful.
Yeah. Well, sometimes, you know, it's funny because it's like if you write like an article or something and you think that it's really pertinent to podcasters and you want to post it, don't post it. Because even though it's a pertinent article, someone else needs to post it.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, it needs to be a validated thing. You know what I mean? Like, because otherwise, yep, it's just you self-promoting. Even though it's like, okay, hey, I wrote this really valuable article, I can't share it with you guys. So it's just, you know, things like that. But I think that you're definitely going to get there. You're a very good speaker, and obviously you've been successful at network marketing as one of your things. So I don't foresee you having a problem with running a podcast. The editing is a pain, and you'll get better at it as time goes on.
It's funny that you mentioned that. So first of all, thank you for the compliment on the speaking, but the editing is 100% outsourced. So I have a team for that. So thankfully.
Well, you're very welcome, and you're very lucky. So yeah, congratulations on having a team to edit your stuff, dude. If I had a team, man, I'd be putting stuff out like 7 days a week. I wouldn't even be a thing. I would just get on the mic, talk for a couple hours, do interviews.
How would you find that many people though?
How would I?
You think it just like once you get going, it just happens? Like, you know, finding people's not the roadblock; it's the editing and production time.
Yeah. Finding people is not tough at all. I mean, I have like a list of people that I still want to get on the show at some point.
Mm.
And then they know people, you know, and they recommend people. I get people, guests that haven't been on the show for almost a year. They still, you know, we still talk, and they just keep recommending people. You know, going to other podcasters can help if, you know, because again, they're passionate about podcasting. So they'll always have something to say. That's a good way to get guests as well. And then they have guests, and then sometimes they'll recommend, like, I swap guests with people all the time, previous guests and other podcasters that I'm friendly with.
Got it.
Because there's nothing to hide here, you know. A good guest is a good guest, and that's all I can ask for. But I think you're on the right road, and actually better than the right road, because you're going to have a team doing it. I just I hope that, have you listened to any of the sample work yet?
When you say sample work, what do you mean by that?
Like, have you sent them any work to edit yet and gotten anything back?
So we're just doing the two that I recorded a few days ago. I just sent those over. So it's actually in-house. My web person used to do this for another company. So they, not podcasting, but they used to take recorded videos of live speeches, condense that all into audio teachings. So yeah, they have a good idea with it. We also, you mentioned John Lee Dumas. We bought the Podcaster's Paradise, so like went through, we're following that to a T, and yeah, learned a bunch in there through, they're going to be using Audacity and really following everything John has laid out there.
Yeah, I mean, I personally haven't bought the product or the into the group because I had no reason to. I already knew how to edit audio and do all that stuff. So I think the only thing that I would, my recommendation for you then is to just relax and really work to find your voice.
Okay.
Don't try to be too rigid. I know John, I mean, John's been on the show before, twice, and you know, John's great. Obviously he's had, mega success with his show, but at the same time, I try to keep it loose, you know,
got it.
Go with where it takes you. But at the same time, focus on making sure that you still get your basic questions out there.
It's so funny because that's the number one, like when I said I bombed the other two, I was super nervous and doing the first one, but I went in with a different agenda than the guest speaker did, and it was like we were butting heads, and I didn't let him lead per se. And, you know, he was trying to get his agenda across. I was trying to get mine across. So it was a big learning experience with that first one.
Let them go where they want to go and entertain it until it runs out. And then, you know, you can bring it back in. And sometimes don't be afraid to just go into the next question. You know, you mm-hmm. don't always have to, because like if somebody is talking, and then it's like, oh, it's my turn to talk. Sometimes you have to have the, you know, be brave enough to just be like, okay, I'm just going to go on to the next question. I'm not, because if you say something, then that might spark them to say something else. And then before you know it, it's an hour later and you haven't accomplished what you were planning on accomplishing, because it is your show and you should make your show for your audience.
Got it. All right.
But yeah, so now that we've gone off on a tangent for a good 10 minutes.
You can always edit this out.
No, I think it's interesting. I think that there's I know quite a few people who are interested in podcasting and getting started, and I know that they listen to the show, and I think that they would find some value in that. So I will make sure to put all this in the show notes, that's for sure. Was there any last thoughts you'd like to share?
Yeah. There's one thing, and it's been on my mind lately, not even on my mind, sort of I would just share that I feel like everybody has these dreams. They have these things that they want to do. Maybe they want to start a podcast like you. Maybe they want to become an entrepreneur. Maybe, you know, whatever it is. And the ability to do those things really lies in the simple decision that you're going to do it. Because we try to figure out, or we try to wait for the perfect moment. We try to wait for the perfect time. We try to wait till everything's aligned. And it's never going to be aligned. And it's never going to go smooth. It's never going to go perfect. And if you look at all the people that have had success, it's really they make the decision. Because it really is. It's a decision. They make the decision and then they make the commitment. So, you know, if for the listeners, if there's something that you're looking to do in your life, just make that decision and do it, because you can't. It's like that, you know, you have to jump off the cliff or take that first step into the unknown. But once you do that, the stars just align and, you know, the next step reveals itself. And the next step, sort of like, you know, when I was talking to you about the getting people onto the show, like all these amazing people that you've had over the last couple years, you never could have fathomed all these people, right? But you start, and then the next piece is revealed, and the next piece. So yeah, for everybody listening, really just do it. Just take that risk. It's going to be scary as hell. You're going to be shaking. You're going to be nervous. And then you're going to take a deep breath and breathe out. And I'm waiting for that with the podcasting when I can relax a little bit. So yeah, just do it.
And I was just giving that advice to a big fan of the show, Patrick, earlier this morning when he was messaging me. About what That's he awesome. Wants to do. Just get started, and it's not going to be perfect, and it's not going to be necessarily amazing, but it's something that you have, you know, you can start to build that track record now instead of waiting, you know, a year or whatever, and then being like, oh man, I wish I had started it sooner.
Yep.
And then there's things like this where I was like, I had something in my mind and I totally just forgot it. So we're going to go into how people can connect with you.
I would say the easiest way is if you just go to keithcallahan.com, and that's just my name spelled out, KEITHCALLAHAN, or emailing me, and it's keith@keithcallahan.com. And then on social media, so you can, it's keithcallahan7 on really just Facebook for me. So facebook.com/keithcallahan7. So those are the main ways, and within the near future, we're going to have the podcast up and running. And again, I think we're 99% sure that it's going to be the business of life. But once we finalize that, I'll let you know, Joe.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely let me know. And I'll have all those links in the show notes at howtodream.co so people can connect with you.
Yeah. And one other thing that I'd just like to add is if you've been interested or looking at the coaching opportunity with Beachbody, or even if you were just listening and you had some curiosity, reach out to me. We can chat about it a little bit. And, you know, it's no, I'm not going to hunt you down with a dagger and try to convince you to do it. Really just looking for people that are looking for an opportunity. So just wanted to throw that out there too.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, I definitely, they should definitely get in touch with you if that's what they're looking for. Well, Keith, it's been awesome having you on the show, and I'm really glad that we were able to connect, and I'm looking forward to having you on the show again in like a year or two, follow up and see how you've been.
Same here, man. And in a year or two, we'll follow up, and hopefully I have this amazing podcasting story for you.
I believe that you will, and I wish you all the luck with it. And if there's anything I can do for you, with it, whether it's guests or advice or anything, just hit me up.
Awesome, man. I appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you again for being on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Dreamers Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Dreamers Podcast. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/DreamersPodcast. If you or someone you know would like to be a guest on the Dreamers Podcast, please send an email to j@jpar.co. This podcast is copyright 2014 by jpar.co.
Hey Dreamers, Joe here. I really appreciate you listening to Dreamers Podcast. If you'd like to find out how to support the show, please visit howtodream.co/support for all the ways you can help out. Thanks for the support, and please keep on dreaming.